This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Sight Unseen Aotearoa, brought to you by Victor, Visual Impairment Charitable Trust Aotearoa, with the support of Otago Polytechnic. Over the next half hour, everyday Kiwis with failing eyesight will be discussing the challenges of living active, independent lives in the community. They will share with us the information, support and practical know-hows they've discovered on their long and winding sight loss journeys.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Sight Unseen Aotearoa. My name is Mary Butler and today I'm interviewing Marina Hanger. Hello, Marina.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Marina, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in occupational therapy and visual impairment?
Okay. Yes, I trained as an occupational therapist and worked in quite a wide variety of settings, through from older persons care, orthopaedics, right through to most latterly working at the Blind Foundation, where I worked. I ran the recreation program there. So both within a region, the Otago region, but also most latterly nationally as well. So while I wasn't strictly employed as an occupational therapist, it was very much from an occupational therapy perspective that I did that role.
Mm. But of course, what you're famous for now is not that job, but this work that you're now doing in Adventure. Can you tell us a bit about the company you set up and why?
Yeah, so back in 2008, I established Ability Adventures. So it is an accessible travel company. I run holidays throughout New Zealand for people who experience disability. And these holidays are all personalised, so they're tailored to what each individual traveller or group of travellers want. And it may be for a person on their own or a couple, groups of friends or groups organised by an agency, whether it's a travel agency or disability organisation or whatever. So I initially work with the people that are wishing to travel and look at what they are interested in seeing and doing and what their abilities are, and just specifically tailor the holiday around those factors so that it's something that's totally manageable for them and meets all their requirements.
Why did you start doing this, Marina?
Well, right back from when I was a newly graduated occupational therapist, I had a fascination for utilising the outdoors in therapy. And of course, way back then, so this is in the late 1970s, there weren't the opportunities for OTs to work in those areas. Well, not that I came across anyway. And just over the years was the experience that I gained. And also I had a number of years working in the tourism industry as well. And so just the occupational therapy skills and then that tourism base of skills just came together. And I thought for quite a long time about doing it, but often these things have to be, the timing has to be right. And so it was in 2008. So I set up the company and started running the tours from that time. So I've been doing it for about 12 years now.
Sounds amazing. You get rave feedback about the work that you do. Can you tell us some of the things and adventures that you've gone on with people?
There's a wide variety of holidays. About 4 years ago, I think, I had a group of three vision impaired people that wanted to cycle the Alps to Ocean. And two of them were totally blind and the third had partial vision. And so they sort of They gave me their brief of what they wanted, and so I designed the holiday around that and organised the bikes and the accommodation, and we worked out the how far we were going each day, the overnight stops and so on, and and I also organised the pilot ride as well, and had a fantastic 5 days cycling from pretty much almost up near Mount Cook. We actually went up on the true left of the Lake Pukaki and cycled from the end of the road there right down to Oamaru. And it was an awesome trip. And that same group of people have decided they want to do another trip this coming March, and so we're going to do 5 days around the Nelson area, picking off some of the great taste trail routes up there. So that was one group. Another group that I had was a family from Australia. The father was a wheelchair traveller. He had quite minimal use of his arms. He was able to operate his motorised wheelchair independently, but otherwise needed help with most activities. And he travelled with his wife and four daughters. And they wanted a holiday where it was totally inclusive, because in the past they've been on holidays where the wife and the four children would end up, or they'd all stay at a resort or something like that, and everyone would end up swimming in the pool except the husband, who ended up, because he couldn't get involved, he just ended up going back to the room and work, which he could do remotely. And so that wasn't a holiday for them. And so their brief was something that was totally inclusive, but they also wanted a bit of extra help, or his wife wanted some extra help because the girls were quite young, and so just with a bit of washing, and like there were times on that trip, which was 2.5 weeks long, where I looked after the children while they went out for a meal. So yeah, it's just sort of working in with them and what they needed, and going that extra distance so that it was a really special holiday for everyone. And so the sorts of things that they did ranged quite a lot. Like they did a glacier landing up at from Franz Josef Glacier up and over the Alps. Went kayaking on Okureto Lagoon, which was pretty special. What else did they really enjoy? They really enjoyed going out to see the penguins at Pukekura, you know, at Tairoa Head. And of course that's, you know, there's wheelchair access up onto the viewing platform there. But, you know, one of the things that they particularly enjoyed was just getting out into some of the remote areas and just being, because this family live in an apartment in the middle of Sydney, and so being in nature and in places that are quiet was really special. So I'd taken my tramping billy and cooker and, you know, picnic set, and we often would just have picnics and it, you know, off in some of the sort of remote spots, like down at Ship Creek on the west coast and up at Lewis Pass. And they just loved that. It was the simplest thing to be able to do, and yet one of the most pleasurable for them.
And of course, you could only really do that, couldn't you, if you really know the country. That's the thing. You couldn't come in as a tourist and be able to find all these places.
Well, it certainly helps, but also I think what makes a difference is where the groups are just small and they're specifically tailored for what that group of people want, and it just makes it so much easier to adapt along the way and incorporate other things that they might enjoy, or, you know, just mix and match a little bit so that they're getting the most out of the whole experience.
Sounds amazing, Marina. Can you tell me a little bit about the particular challenges you face, especially when you're making these kinds of experiences for people with visual impairment? What do people need to look out for when they're creating such an adventure?
Well, I think what a lot of people with disabilities would be able to tell you, and I mean, I, as someone organising holidays for this group of people, one of the biggest things is accurate information, in particular about what's what sort of facilities accommodations have. And you know, it's beyond me as to why these places don't think to advertise these a little bit better than what they do, even just to state clearly what the facilities are that they have. And then people can make up their own mind if they're going to be manageable for them or not. But you know, quite often I find there'll be motels or hotels that actually do have some quite good accessible accommodation, but actually they don't promote it. So that's quite challenging, actually. And I, you know, it's something that I hope as time goes on and a bit of promotion from all sectors will help to change that. So that's one of the biggest things, but I find it just takes a lot more time to organise holidays because you've got to get it right. You know, can't turn up to things and find that actually what you thought might be accessible isn't. So I find I do, you know, try and do my homework really well, and because I've been doing it for a few years now, then I've built up quite a bit of that knowledge of what's available in the different areas and with the accommodations and the activities that my client group tend to like to do. So that's got easier for me. But I think for anyone travelling, certainly getting that information themselves would be quite a mission. And it just takes a lot of research and asking lots of questions, and even, you know, don't accept just what people say as being accessible. Get them to send pictures, descriptions, and so on. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Did you make this up completely yourself, or is it happening in other countries like this, the way you're doing it?
Yeah, no, look, there's lots of opportunities throughout the world. There's different tour operators like myself in various countries that offer accessible opportunities within their areas. So yeah, it's not a new thing, and I think it's something that is growing. There seems to be more operators out there and more interest in the services that can be provided. So it's really great, because you know, there's ability should be excluded where.
Let's just pick it up from there. How, you know, if you were to ask a question, how can people with visual impairment have more adventures in their everyday lives? Would you have any answers for that?
Well, I just think it's almost like we've got to look at what each of us in our lives need to think about what we'd like to do, and just not be limited by our imagination. Like, you know, if you want to try something, then put it out there and just see how that might be able to happen. Ask questions, see if there's people that can help you to make that happen. I mean, there's just lots of opportunities, and it's just about seeking them, I feel, anyway. And I know that's easy enough for me to say as someone who is able-bodied, but as a person who offers opportunities for people with a disability, then quite often I'll have people that say to me, well, you know, can we do this? And it's like, well, actually, I'm not sure, but let's check it out and see if we can make it happen. And in most cases, we can.
Yeah. And of course, all of us are limited by our imagination, able-bodied or with so-called disability. We get limited. So we do. It's great to have people who have the resourcefulness to be able to create those kinds of experiences. So
yes.
Why do you think it's so important for people to do this?
Well, look, adventure is, I just think it's really important in our lives, you know, and it makes, when our sort of comfort zones are pushed, then we feel more alive, we feel more satisfied, and we just get so much pleasure from it. And I know that's something I very much learnt, well, from my own experience in the outdoors, but it was really reinforced to me when I worked at the Blind Foundation and we ran a lot of different outdoor programs, and quite often the activities that were the hardest and most challenging, while at the time participants would, you know, be finding it quite hard going and maybe there'd be the odd mumble and grumble, it was those aspects that they really enjoyed and that they were just buzzing about in the end. So I think, you know, for all of us, we need challenge and we need the opportunity to extend our skills. And we do that when we are pushed beyond our comfort zones a bit. So, I think it's really important. And I think travel is one way to push those boundaries a little bit. And, you know, for some people, travel is a chosen adventure activity. And adventure, of course, varies from person to person. What might be pushing the boundaries a bit for one person may not be at all for another. So it's a very individual thing, and that's what's so exciting about it.
I completely agree. I got my camper van during lockdown, and all it takes is for me to go away for an overnight camp, and I think I've had a big adventure. That might not be that for everybody, but it is for me. So I think you're right. It is very individual. But that does remind me, of course, you're doing something that's to do with tourism during this 2020 year of COVID. How has COVID affected your business, Marina?
Well, like many tourism operators that particularly have worked within the international tourism field, it's had a major effect actually. But that's fine. I mean, it's an opportunity to for me to do a bit of research on other, you know, trip opportunities I can offer, on looking at accessible activities that are available in different areas that maybe I haven't perhaps focused on so much previously. But it's also been an opportunity for me to sort of really connect a bit more with the New Zealand market and see what I can offer here. So I mean, it's like anything, it's just your attitude, isn't it? And if you look on it as an opportunity, then that's good, and you'll you then sort of position yourself to hopefully find some good outcomes.
Yeah, you know, I'm always looking for things because, you know, I teach occupational therapy students, and I'm just thinking about what you said earlier about trying to get accurate information. I just could imagine an army of young occupational therapists out there doing an audit for you as they go out for their summer holidays. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could gather more relevant information for you about accessibility?
Yeah, and it's not just about me. It's actually, you know, there's various groups like Facebook groups and so on, and even some of the directories like Firstport. It's, you know, there's lots of sectors within the community that are trying to pull together a lot of this information, and, you know, the more it's sort of out there for people to access, then the better, and it just enables individuals to make good choices for themselves in relation to accommodation or activities or whatever.
So maybe I could put up some of the details of it. Was it Firstport afterwards for listeners, if they like, and also of course information about your where your business is situated. Is there anything else I should be asking you about? What does it mean to be an occupational therapist working with adventure? Do you still think you're being an occupational therapist?
Absolutely. I totally do it from an occupational therapy perspective, because I get a client who approaches me about what they want in a holiday. So the first part for me is really engaging with them, finding out a little bit more about what their what their interests are, what their passions are, what abilities they have. And so I utilise my OT background and knowledge of disability to then sort of build a picture of what they may be able to manage in a holiday. In terms of, you know, like the pace of the holiday, the level of access requirements that they may have, all that sort of thing. So, you know, you're sort of like analysing each of the tasks and adapting those to suit the person that's travelling. So, I very much see it as occupational therapy, and it's been probably one of the highlights of my career, actually, working in this area. It's such a positive aspect of life to be working in. You know, people are on holiday, they're having fun, and being able to have an influence on their level of enjoyment by designing a holiday that's, you know, just really manageable is just such a pleasure.
What a lovely description of occupational therapy, Marina. I think I'm going to leave it at that. But thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed at such short notice. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on Sight Unseen Aotearoa. We look forward to joining us again next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
You've been listening to Sight Unseen Aotearoa, enabling Kiwis with low vision to lead active, independent and productive lives. Podcasts of this episode and others in the series are available from the ORFM Dunedin website, oar.org.nz. If you have any question about today's discussion or any ideas for future episodes, please contact Victor, Visual Impairment Charitable Trust Aotearoa, on 0800 20 66 20 or email inquiries at visualimpairment.org.nz. This program has been made possible with the support of Otago Polytechnic.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.